will just briefly review what we discussed last time. So we are discussing the second chapter. So can somebody recollect some points we discussed last time? From verse 67, 68 we covered, right? And 69. Some points from 67? So what is effective way we stay away from the objects? We don't really stay away, right?
Like, we don't stay away. Engaging the senses.
Yeah. So
we using the senses, after this prashadam and association. And we read books. And so we are engaging senses.
Engaging senses.
We are not
engaged our senses.
Yeah.
So
not even Krishna is saying, even one sense, right? If it's uncontrolled, it will take away the mind. So all the senses should be engaged. An example is of whom? Maharaj Amrish. He engages all his senses in Lord's service. Then 68. So Krishna is again saying, you know, who is this? Siddha Prajna. Yeah. Siddha Prajna, the steady man of steady intelligence. Yeah, so Krishna is defining again, one whose senses are restrained from their objects is certainly a man of steady intelligence. So there we found the definition for sadhana and sadhana bhakti, sadhaka and sadhana bhakti. Who is the sadhaka?
We are the sadhaka.
Definition.
Attempting to be sadhaka.
Yeah. The definition of the sadhaka?
The definition
for sadhaka?
Practicing and the consciousness under
guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. It's very good, yeah. So, So here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying senses can be curbed by superior force. What is that superior force? For us,
mercy.
Superior force is the Supreme Lord. The soul engaged in the Supreme Soul, Super Soul service, right? Supreme Lord can control. Okay, now this was the confusing verse, right? 69. So who will summarize what is that? What is night for all beings? It's time of awakening. For self-control, what is time of awakening for all beings? It's night for introspective sage.
Daytime is
so who are the two people first? Who are the two people being compared? Materialists or spiritualists? Okay.
So devotees can spend all his daytime is like a devotional activity.
Okay.
But material persons can use their senses whole day for his
sense gratification. Okay.
Like opposite way. Daytime they'll do something like that, and spiritual masters can do.
They are not interested in sense gratification. So it's not literally day and night. So basically, night means we should think about inactivity. Daytime means activity. So spiritualists or spiritual aspirants are active for spiritual goal. That means they are active for sense control, right? So that means it's a daytime for them. But whereas materialistic persons are inactive for sense control, so that's night, they are sleeping basically. Night we are inactive. So basically they are sleeping, they are not interested in sense control. But reverse. So the materialists are active for sense gratification. So that's daytime. They are actively looking for, you know, how to enjoy the senses. But whereas spiritualists are inactive. They are not interested. So that's night for them. So that's the brief summary.
So why this convoluted way of trying to say that?
Yeah. That's why we have spiritual masters who elaborate on that to give so that we can understand deeper meanings of this.
The self-controlled people, they would not be doing anything for sense gratification even in the night, right?
So this day and night are not like literal day and night.
Yes.
We should consider this as night as inactivity and day as activity. So what is active for a sense controlled person, the materialistic person becomes inactive. Right?
But when you say self controlled, you are talking about like who are not in Krishna consciousness.
No. Self controlled is who are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm saying what is activity for them?
Activities of sense control, which is nothing but activities of devotional service.
Engaging in senses devotional. So which would be true during day, right? Because they're exercising.
So it's not literal day and night. That's what I'm saying.
So it would be true for both days.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. So this day and night should be considered as activity, inactivity. It's not like, it doesn't mean a devotee or, you know, spiritual aspirant in the night is engaging in sense gratification. It's right. It's not like that. So it applies for 24 hours.
So the spiritual person is active in one thing and
exactly
in one thing.
Yes.
And
yes.
The material thing is, the material person is doing the opposite
exactly
of that.
Yes.
Whatever. He's
yes
active in one thing and
inactive
in
one thing,
but the opposite.
Opposite, yes. That's why they are like opposites. One, if somebody is like day, other person is sleeping during that time. It's like opposites.
Nice.
It's like, that's why it's considered.
But he actually says, Sarva Bhutanam, which is all living entities. Yanisha Sarva Bhutanam, for all living entities, which basically means including animals, and it's all, it covers a lot more. Right?
All beings, yeah.
All beings, it's not just about human beings. It's about
of living entities, yes.
So it's
night for all beings. But anyway, they don't have much choice, right? You know, they can't even exercise their conscious choice. Right?
They are like materialistic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
No, in the
they
sense,
push.
Actually, they don't even accrue karma in the other bodies. They just start burning their karma. So, because here we are talking about a conscious choice, right? What do we do? So then, mostly we can say, you know, it applies to conditioned souls. So we can say again, you know, all beings means, does it include also sense controlled beings, right? It means here conditioned souls, like, you know, the people who are interested, materialistic people actually interested in sense gratification. Okay.
So you mentioned one thing, the other living beings, that is living beings other than humans, they don't accrue karma.
Yeah.
So they're just burning karma.
Yeah.
So they continue to take rebirth in different forms till they reach the point where they can be born as a human,
yes,
and then they accrue.
Yes, yes.
Like we said, they start from the bottom.
Yes.
The abysmal, right.
So in one of the classes we discussed that there is an exception to it. Because of the mercy of the Lord, by any chance, they eat like, you know, prasadam or something happens, then
they can burn a big chunk of the karma.
Yeah, and then
chunk
move ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll cover today's class, today's verse, verse number 17. So in this verse, Krishna is giving an example of Sthita Prajna's nature. So we are discussing, okay, what is the section we are discussing, the overall section? Arjuna asked four questions, right?
Sthita Prajna.
What does he do? What is the activity?
Five questions.
How does he say? Yeah.
How does
he walk?
So finally, now we are covering the section. How does he walk? Which is, how does he engage his senses? Right? So within that, so now Krishna is giving an example of Sita Prajna's nature. Why he is able to control his senses, basically. So we can recite the verse probably.
I left my phone today.
Okay. Yeah.
Actually, I have my
phone.
Oh, you have that.
Yeah. Flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So here Krishna is describing that the Sita Prajna, even though he has desires, he remains steady. Like comparing that to analogy, Krishna is giving an analogy for us to understand, like an ocean. So ocean is full with water, but even though rivers pour in more water during any season, still it remains steady. It doesn't overflow. Similarly, when it's summer, if the water evaporates, still the ocean remains steady. So like that, Sita Prajna also, even though there is incessant flow of desires, he remains steady. That means he doesn't act on them. So, and that's how he becomes peaceful. And other point Krishna is telling here is, a person, other way, if the person is trying to satisfy those desires, actually what happens to him? He is not peaceful.
He is always chasing one desire.
Exactly. So he is saying the Sthita Prajna is peaceful because he is able to, because of his, you know, engagement in Krishna consciousness, is steady and is full. Whereas the materialistic person who is trying to satisfy his desires is never peaceful.
But he also will have desire, but the only thing
exactly.
He will not follow.
He will not act on it. Yeah. So.
Otherwise, we are just always pursuing one desire after another.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes it's contradictory. Because one time we want one thing, the next time we exactly don't want what do opposite.
Yeah. So main point you brought out is actually everybody has desires. So it's not that, you know, we'll reach a point where I don't have desires. Desirelessness, that's actually Prabhupada defines in next purport. Real desirelessness is to desire only service of the Lord. So that's the desire we should cultivate and increase. Not the desire to engage in sense gratification. So we discussed an example, right? The silence, an example of Srila Prabhupada. Right? Who knows that?
He said once he went to a conference where Mayavadi was following Maunvrat. So then Prabhupada took that opportunity, and then because anyway we are not supposed to listen, he gave lecture. And he said actually real Maunvrat is talking only about Krishna.
Yeah, yeah. So similarly, real desirelessness is to desire only service for Krishna. It's not that we'll reach a point where, you know, I don't have desires. We'll not have. Because soul is all, the desire is an intricate part of the soul.
Okay, so we'll read the purport. Okay, so Prabhu, you can narrate.
Although the vast ocean is always filled with water, it is always, especially during the rainy season, being filled with much more water. But the ocean remains the same, steady. It is not agitated, nor does it cross beyond the limit of its brink. That is also true of a person fixed in Krishna consciousness. As long as one has the material body, the demands of the body for sense gratification will continue. The devotee, however, is not disturbed by such desires because of his fullness.
So you can pause. So the same thing in Prabhupada is elaborating in the purport. It's like ocean is so filled with water, but still even the water coming from the river, it remains steady. So similarly, a Krishna conscious person is full in himself because owing to his service to the Lord, because of which he is not disturbed even if he has desires. So owing to the material body, the desires are there. So it doesn't mean, you know, somebody is a sannyasi or somebody is a transcendentalist, doesn't mean they don't have desires. Owing to the nature of the body, you know, in certain situations or whatever, the desires may come, but they don't act on it. You know, they don't feel the need to exercise those desires. Why does anybody feel the need to exercise any desire? Because they want something, right? They feel empty, or you know, they feel the need, you know, I lack something. If I get this car, or you know, if I get this, if I watch this, I'll get something.
If the situation will improve, we feel
this happy.
Particular
exactly.
Thing is incomplete and
something will make me complete.
Better.
Yes, so we keep trying like that. But whereas the Krishna, fully Krishna conscious person is already full, so there is nothing for him to fill himself. He's already full, so he doesn't need to, you know, go on chasing after these desires. So he's satisfied in his service for Krishna. That's the whole point.
So whence the desires are coming from?
Well, since when we are having the desires?
No, but then if you're already, so why do we have a desire? Because we're not full, right? So it's like, except like other than hunger, everything else, you know, you keep putting in, it's like more. But then where is that coming from?
Right.
What is coming from? My desire?
The desires, right? So yes, but you're still in contact with the material nature, right?
It comes from the senses.
Right.
So you're saying, I didn't understand your question.
Okay, so the sentence is, let's see.
As long as
his
one
devotee, however, is not disturbed by such desires because of his fullness.
Yeah.
Right? So what I'm asking is, if you're full already,
why do we have desires in the
correct.
First place?
That's what
Prabhupada is telling. Owing to the nature of the material demands of the body.
Yeah, okay.
Just because we have the material body,
okay.
Sometimes that things will happen in contact with sense objects, right? Suddenly you remember, you know, what your previous desires are. Suddenly it can come up. But they feel, you know, okay, now I'll not exercise.
Did it mean soul desires
doesn't
have any desires? Only material body has desires?
No. So, in desire is the intricate nature of the soul.
So, it means once you don't have this body, soul will still have some kind of desire.
Yes.
Right,
then what is that desire? What is that desire? What will be that desire in spiritual world?
Not in spiritual
world.
I'm just talking about just a soul.
Well,
like
the soul, if it doesn't have material body, means it has spiritual body, right?
Yes. But so that soul can be on any platform, whether it's been in affluence, either it's been in spiritual
yes,
world,
yes.
Or it can be anywhere.
Yes.
On the
right.
So which kind of desire those we will still having the desire? Right?
Yes. So the soul in the spiritual world, what would it be desiring for? Serving the Lord, right?
It's not just material body we got. That's the reason we are getting desire. Desire is always with
yes,
us.
Yes. Exactly.
Just
yes.
A form is changed.
Yes. That's what Prabhupada tells in the this purport or next purport. Prabhupada says you have to change the quality of the desire. Desire is always there. You have to change the quality. Whether you are desiring for sense gratification or you are desiring for Krishna. That's what we need to change.
So for the spiritual body, there is no one body, but for the soul, there is no desire for sense gratification at all. Right? It's only service. But there should be
when it's self-realized or when it's, you know, perfected.
Right, right. But are there still no needs for the soul itself? Would it be completely in service only?
actually the real need for the soul is, you know, the food for the soul, right? If you talk about it, is actually service to the Supreme Lord. Right now we think actually, you know, all these things are the needs for the soul. Like, you know, getting this, getting that, you know, that makes me satisfied. But that's because of identification with the body we have. So there, in the material, in the spiritual world, the only desire is to serve the Lord.
And in serving the Lord, we are kind of taking care of.
Exactly. So that's the point. Exactly, we're leading into the point. Srila Prabhupada is going to talk about next in the section. We can continue.
Yeah. A Krishna conscious man is not in need of anything, because the Lord fulfills all his material necessities.
Mm.
Therefore, he is like the ocean, always full in himself.
Yeah, so that's the point, right? So he has. So what does it mean? Like, oh, he doesn't have desires. Means, you know, he doesn't care about his bodily needs. Then he's like, you know, avadhut, like, you know, roaming around. And what happens to him, right? Because he's so much engaged in serving the Lord, Lord takes care of him. We have so many incidents, right? Anybody can recollect some pastimes where we can see Lord reciprocating to the devotees' devotional service and taking care of them. Some we can just narrate like few incidents, just, you know, to reaffirm our.
Prahlad Maharaj believes so much in God, and he says God is everything and everywhere. And Hrishikesh, he is so agitated, he puts him in the fire to burn him. He doesn't get burned, throws him from the mountain. He doesn't get killed, and all those things, bad things he does, nothing happens to him. And so he comes, even he says he's there everywhere. So he's so angry, and he says, is he there in this pillar? He says, yeah, he's there in this pillar. So he hits him, and to save his word, he comes through the pillar and proves that he is right.
Yeah. So how the Lord took care of, you know, 5-year-old boy. He never even, that's what inspires me about Prahlad Maharaj, is he never even for a second thought, you know, is the Lord there? So many things he had to go through. His faith never gets disturbed. And Lord comes himself. The other speciality about Prahlad Maharaj is Lord took a incarnation just to save him alone. In other incarnations, he did so many pastimes, you know, with the other devotees, so many things. But Narsingadev came just for Prahlad Maharaj. So that's the specialty of Prahlad Maharaj. So, and then another incident, who knows the incident of Draupadi, how she's
thinking
been saved.
But the Lord himself didn't come, but he kept on elongating the sadhana.
Yeah. So there is very nice, deeper meaning about that incident, actually, we can share. Is that actually Draupadi, when she was being, you know, disrespected in the courtyard by all the Kauravas, so she tried to, first she pleaded to all the elderly persons like Bhishma Dev and, you know, Dronacharya, everyone, you know?
Yeah,
we shared, right? Once.
Yeah, and then she immediately lifted her hand, say Hare Krishna, so that's when it starts coming in.
So she first pleaded to them, and they said, you know, we are, you know, we can't do anything, we are on their side, no, we can't, we are eating their food, we cannot do anything. Then she pleaded to her husbands, you know, you are supposed to protect me, what happened, you know, what's happening. They said, you know, we lost you, we cannot do anything. Then she herself, you know, tried to protect with two hands, it didn't work. Then she lifted one hand saying, oh Krishna, like that, and another hand still holding, still, no, nothing worked. Then finally she said, oh, it's not within my this thing. She lifted both hands, say, hey Krishna Govinda. Then Lord sent the sari. So later on, when Draupadi met Krishna, I don't know how many of you know this part of it. So when Draupadi met Sri Krishna, she asked, you know, okay, I'm completely dependent on you, and I'm pleading for mercy, and in this incident I was helpless. Why you didn't come in the first place? Why you had to, you know, wait so long and go through all these things? Then what did Krishna say? Yeah, Krishna said, you didn't ask for me. You didn't ask for my help.
You thought you could save
yourself.
Yeah, you thought, you know, so many others will save, your husbands will save, you yourself can save yourself. And, you know, finally when you thought, you know, nobody can save but only me, then I came. So you didn't ask for me.
But in so many occasions, like, God uses other living beings as an instrument for help.
Yes.
So
this doesn't resonate.
Because we are not as great as Draupadi, but God is appearing for us, right?
No, why it doesn't resonate? It resonates in the sense.
God is saying that you had to ask for me alone. Right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, if she was asking from the elderly or
yes.
from the husbands, I mean, in a way, it's if you look at the bigger thing, it is asking for help from God also.
No.
Right?
So.
Actually, very nice. It reminds me of one lecture I heard. I think I don't know the verse. One verse, Krishna says, yeah, he says mom, right? I think it's a Patram Pushpam verse only. Phalam toyam, yome bhaktya prayachati, tadaham bhakti upahartam, ashnami prayatatmanaha. So where, okay, we can refer to that verse. I don't know which chapter. We can refer from the index. Say chapter, I think.
9:46.
Yeah, 9 chapter. Yeah, so third verse in the purport, Krishna talks about, in the verse, Krishna says what are the kinds of food he accepts. So if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. Right? So there in the one of the lecture when Prabhupada was elaborating on this, he says, he starts saying Krishna is selfish. This me, no, he offers me with love and devotion, then I will accept it. So that's what is Krishna. Krishna looks for exclusive surrender. So no compromise there. Exactly. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
It means because we don't completely have
exactly.
faith, right?
Yeah.
It means you are having faith somewhere.
Exactly. Yes.
I mean, even like when I think in the first chapter only, like where Arjuna,
yeah.
finally he gave in, like he had
yeah.
all these questions and then. Yeah, as a friend and all, but now I completely surrender and then.
Yes, then that's when Krishna started talking,
Krishna
right?
Talking,
okay. Until that time, Krishna was just listening
yeah.
as a friend.
Yeah.
Then he took the role of spiritual master. And what is that verse which.
Number 7.
Let me complete the statement. So, what is the verse where Krishna asks us to surrender?
Ask us to surrender.
Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mukshami masucha. So which is the verse? 18th chapter?
1866
or something. 66, yeah.
706.
So where Krishna is saying, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Yeah, or maybe in this verse, the lecture of this verse, Prabhupada is telling that. Maam ekam. No, surrender only unto me. Yeah, I think this is the verse. Sorry, I misquoted that. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. Just. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So we may be afraid, okay, I have so many sinful reactions. If I surrender, what will happen? Krishna says, no, do not fear. I will protect you. So that's what Krishna wants, exclusive surrender.
Yeah, no, I was actually wrong in phrasing my sentence because I think it is true that God uses others as an instrument to
help
others.
Yeah.
But only when you're seeking help from God.
Yeah.
If he doesn't come as an incarnation or present himself, he
yes.
can use some other
correct.
Body.
That's correct.
Right.
Yes,
yeah, so my mistake.
Yes. Yeah, that's the case for all of us mostly. Now sometimes we hear somebody saying something or something, you know, it strikes us. We get some direction like that. Okay, so we'll continue. Desires may
come to him like the waters of the river that flow into the ocean. But he is steady in his activities and is not even slightly disturbed by desires for sense gratification. That is the proof of a Krishna conscious mind. One who has lost all inclination for material sense gratification, although the desires are present. Because he remains satisfied in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, he can remain steady like the ocean and therefore enjoy full peace. Others, however, who want to fulfill desires even up to the limit of liberation, what to speak of material success, never attain peace.
Okay, we can pause there. Actually, for the other, the earlier section, there is a verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, you know, I will protect, right? One is the Sarvadharma verse. Other one is 9.22. Ananyas chintayanto maam ye jana paripasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So this is a promise Krishna is giving. But what is the criteria? Those who worship Krishna with exclusive devotion, as we are talking about exclusive surrender, meditating on my transcendental form, that too only on the personal form of the Lord, to them what does Krishna do? I carry what they lack. That means if we have lacking anything, Krishna will provide us, and preserve what they have, means whatever we have will be kept. So this is similar to, you know, how do we understand this? Is as we, you know, we are trying our best to perfect our life, but somehow something happens, we have to quit our body, then the next life will, our devotion is preserved. No, next life will continue where we left off, like how Bharat Maharaj happened. Then so that's what Krishna will preserve. It doesn't mean he'll, you know, keep on providing material things for us. Okay, we may think in that way actually sometimes, you know. Oh, I like TV, I like, you know, fridge. And Krishna will provide. No, Krishna will provide whatever is necessary for our service to come closer to Him. Actually, this reminds me of that very nice incident of, I think we discussed earlier, about Arjunacharya. Vahami Aham. I think we discussed long time back. I don't know if anybody remembers. Anybody remembers this Vahami, about this Vahami Aham? So there is our Acharya, Arjunacharya. He was translating, or maybe, you know, writing commentary to Bhagavad Gita. So he was reading this verse, and he was Vahami Aham. Aham, right? Aham means I. Vahami means I will do, right? So he was reading this and he was thinking, why will Krishna personally come and do it? It's not Vahami Aham, it's through some agency, as you're saying. So some medium Krishna will provide for the devotee. So he was writing the commentary like that. And then he left for the lunch somewhere. After he finished, he went for a bath or somewhere outside. Then two boys came inside the home. And they came, and then, you know, they came, they ate some food, and then his wife was providing food for them. And then suddenly, she saw that actually one of the boy who's blackish, and he actually, Arjunacharya, he striped the word aham in the verse, because it's not aham, it's not Krishna, it's through agency. So he striped the word. So he saw that the blackish boy has lot of beatings at the back, you know, marks of the beatings. So then she asked, you know, what happened to you? Why you have this, you know? Somebody hit me, he tells like that. Then the boys leave. Then Arjunacharya comes back. And then then something happened and he understood. So somebody came. Then she asked, like, you know, who is that? And she told, this is what happened. Then he figures actually it's Krishna himself who came. No, because he striked the word aham, right? It's not me. And actually they didn't have food or something, and maybe the boys provided or something. I don't remember the exact incident. So he saw that when they didn't have, when the need was there, Krishna was providing them. So Krishna personally came to provide them. So he understood aham means Krishna himself. But only that happens only for very pure devotees. Like, we should not expect.
Who is Arjuna?
I don't know which disciplic succession exactly, but one of the Vaishnavacharyas. So can anybody recollect from your incidents in life in Krishna consciousness, some of the times where you were protected, or, you know, some things happened which helped you come closer to Krishna? How, you know, you felt Krishna's presence in your life? That's what I'm trying to ask. How you felt Krishna's presence in your life?
Swami, you want to tell about that traffic?
What?
On Friday, I think he was going for the game or something.
No. Which one?
Which game? The traffic on I-90 and you came back. So
yeah. Well,
he is going for the party.
Correct. Actually, we had a get together with our classmates, so I thought I could go and come back in time, maybe just a little late.
For the Friday program?
Yeah, so Friday class. So you going itself, there's a big traffic jam. Okay, chalo, so let's come back, and I came.
Oh.
If he has to he wants me to come here, this is where I'll be late. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very nice. So you felt Krishna created the traffic jam?
No, but he's saying it. I didn't say that. I was teasing him. Yeah,
okay,
teasing.
So very nice, yeah. Whatever makes us remember Krishna, it's good. Any more things anybody wants? You want to share, Prabhu, about your visa?
I don't know.
How much anxiety you were in? You can share, Mathis.
I can't tell, but you can tell. After we decide only, after if our visa process is success, we thought like that, we move to here, what, at any cost. So we moved.
Okay. They were in anxiety for a while, no? Whether the visa comes through, otherwise they had to go to India and things like that. But at the same time, they wanted to come closer to temple and be closer to devotees. You know, they were praying intensely. So much, I could see so much tensed up and all. Prabhu saying, oh yeah.
Something else, something. I don't know what is
it. Yeah, then after 1 month or 2 months, actually, you know, everything got cleared. And they even, actually here also, even before they got the visa, they saw a couple of homes to live in, but somehow it didn't work out. Then we were also praying for them, and somehow everything worked out now, you know. This stays so close, and
this is the closest thing I know.
Yeah, so closer
even,
than even ours.
Us, it would have been difficult. So we even came closer.
See, now they are using it wisely by engaging more and more in Krishna service, so that's good. So anybody, anything else you want to share? It's very nice, it helps us.
I can
us.
Share just a small incident. I mean, it wasn't like it brought me close to the Lord, because I have always believed, but it was kind of a reaffirmation of that God takes care of me. I was driving one Sunday 202 back to my home, and was like, I guess already we were thick into the monsoon season, so there used to be a puddle of water on the side lane, on the rightmost lane, like when you go, and if you do not switch lanes, and especially like in the evening, you can't see where the water actually accumulates. So if your car is in that area, you know, it starts to sway. So I was coming back in the night. It was a bit, little bit late, and so I was in the rightmost lane, and there's an area where there's not much light, so you can't really, visibility is very poor. So it hit one of these spots where there was a whole lot of a big puddle of water accumulated, and you wouldn't believe my car kind of swayed twice like this. I was like, it was totally out of my control, and I couldn't even hit the brake, because if you do that, you know, there's a bigger chance that it's going to skid or something, and I was thinking I'll end up in a ditch, but it just swayed violently twice like this, and then somehow I was able to control. So it was, for a moment I thought it's gone, I'm going to die, or I'm going to end up in a ditch, but it was God who saved me.
Throughout
life, I've seen like whatever years, when I think sometimes that I can do it, I'm not able to do it. It just doesn't happen. Something goes wrong, something. And when I feel okay, I just don't know what to do. It's just not beyond my whatever it is. Then things somehow work out by itself. I can't think of, because it happens like so many things, right? So as long as I feel, that's why I keep telling you, it's like I don't feel like I have done anything. It's like it feels like
just like a complete surrender.
It's like complete things. There is a power.
It's like some divine power.
I'm not wise enough to kind of to go
nail it down
yet. But there is something beyond what I think is like I'm doing or something like that. Every second I feel.
Yeah, now we know which is that, who is that superior power. It's not like unknown, unnamed.
Yeah, when we admit that it's beyond our control, it's complete surrender. And
yes, that makes it easier. Yeah. That makes it so stressless, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, we think, you know, I can control, I can do so many things. We'll be so more and more stressed.
It doesn't stay all the time. That's the thing, still
yeah.
It doesn't stay, but I can control that thing comes, and then you say,
yes.
Okay, can't control.
Because it's not yet our nature, right? It's not purified, it's coming out of frustration rather than, you know, real devotion. So that's why it's not steady.
Yeah.
It's not like that, it's the prajna yet.
Yeah.
I mean, the moment we think that we are the proprietor is when you get into trouble, but you let everything go, and I think it's beyond my control is when I think things become a lot easier also.
Yeah. So here Prabhupada is giving us understanding of how a Krishna conscious person is full in himself. What does he do? Why is he full? Because
all his senses are engaged in service.
Because he remains satisfied in transcendental loving service of the Lord. He is full because he is always satisfied. If he's satisfied, then he doesn't need anything else. Like, for example, when you have a full meal, you don't, even if you see something which you really, really like, you don't like to take, eat. So Krishna conscious person is fully satisfied in service of the Lord. He doesn't feel like, oh, I have to watch this movie, I have to go there, to go to this bar, I have to go to this. He doesn't feel any interest in that. Because of?
They have
higher taste, right?
Higher taste.
So which verse is that about higher taste Krishna talks about? Yeah. I'm waiting for somebody to share.
Yeah, it's 259.
Which
verse?
2.59. Vishayavini Vartante Niraharasya Dehina Rasavarsham Rasopyasya Paramdushva Nivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But seizing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So because of higher taste, even though the desires may remain or, you know, taste also remains, he is not interested anymore. Because he is experiencing the greater pleasure in service to the Lord. So that's what you were asking, right? In restraining, what enjoyment do you get? You know, it's always stop this, don't do this. Are you really being happy? But then we discussed that incident, right? Srila Prabhupada, and somebody questioned Prabhupada, you know, end of the life, if you figure out there is no Krishna, what will you do? And Prabhupada said, I'm happy chanting, dancing, whole life. End of, you wasted all your life. End of the life, you figure out Krishna is there, what will you do? Right? So that's how we keep on going, right, in Krishna consciousness, that actually we are getting satisfied. That's what we have been looking for. Suddenly we came in touch. You know, then slowly by taking up little by little, we ourselves get that affirmation. There is something which I need is now getting fulfilled. You know, this is what I need to pursue. Then we invest more and more in this until we make this a goal to serve Krishna. So what is the proof of a Krishna conscious man? Prabhupada is giving definition of a Krishna conscious man.
Doesn't want any of the sense gratification.
Like literally, like, you know, the verbatim? Proof of a Krishna conscious man is?
One who has lost all his sensations for material sense gratification.
Although desires are present. So one who has lost all inclinations for sense gratification, material sense gratification, although the desires are present. So that's the definition of Krishna conscious man. That means he, even though he has desires, he doesn't have any, as Prabhupada is saying, inclination to exercise those desires. Owing to having the material body, desires will be there. But he doesn't feel the need to fulfill those desires. And then
But earlier also mentioned that, yeah, there are desires, but fulfill it in a more Krishna conscious way, right? Like, for example, I have the desire to eat.
Yes.
But you eat prasadam versus trying to eat something.
Yes, yes.
Correct? So it's not that there is no desires. I mean, desires are present, but yes, how do we interpret that in that regards? So you fulfill your desires, but in more Krishna conscious way.
And it's more about material desire.
Yes.
It's
talking about material desire. Material
is taking. Yeah, food is a material desire.
Right? Inclination for material sense gratification is not there.
Okay. eating food and all those are not virtues.
No, because we are doing service to the Lord, right? Like eating prasadam is service to the Lord. Of course, we do it as sense gratification. No, we make a good meal like to Krishna so we can eat. But, you know.
I was thinking this morning actually, as prasadam, right? So we have to eat prasadam as prasadam. Right?
Yeah.
It's like keep on eating because suddenly this thing stuck me in the morning. I just had some prasadam, made something and offered and I said, I'm like, okay, suddenly this thought came from somewhere. It's like, okay, I should stop this prasadam. If I keep on eating, now am I eating like prasadam or am I doing
this? India is an impoverished country, that's the reason why prasadam is so special. US is a very affluent country, that's why there's a lot of science.
This morning I was thinking.
So actually,
we heard from if you like something, you are just offering it.
Yeah.
You like it.
Yes.
They're offering stuff for what? For you.
Prabhu made a good joke. He said, "More prasadam, more consciousness."
More sleep watching. Immediately after eating prasadam, sleep on.
Also, on the stairs, there is a note written which is once you offer your donation to the temple of. Balaji temple, you actually go to Vaikuntha, right? So, I mean, here we are studying all this Bhagavad Gita and all. Did you just make a donation?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Material.
On the
material.
That
is,
yeah.
That
yeah.
Might be
Janmashtami.
The understanding there is.
How many generations?
The understanding is actually eventually. Yeah. It's not that in this life. That's the catch.
It's a start.
Eventually, okay. We'll go. Eventually. But if you perfect Krishna consciousness, you'll go in this life.
On this path. One day they will attend
Because
of
the
Mansi,
they might come here.
So regarding the prasadam,
like asterisk, generally we buy something.
So regarding prasadam, actually, neophyte stage, Srila Prabhupada encouraged, like for example, all the hippies, right? Initially, right? Prabhupada encouraged them to eat prasadam till the throat. Like, you know, that's the beginning actually. Instead of eating something else, because that purifies us. But eventually, as we make advancement, we start thinking, you know, am I really eating to please the Lord? That's why Prabhupada called it honoring prasadam, not eating prasadam. Honoring means, no, with respect. Actually, when Prabhupada was honoring prasadam, he never used to even, alone, most of the time, alone he used to eat, not even talking with anybody, because it's like respecting Krishna's mercy like that.
And Mataji, I see a lot of people here, you know, they don't finish their prasadam and you see the trash, they're throwing a lot of them, that's not respectful.
Yeah.
No, you should not stand and eat. You should not eat with a spoon and all. You should not talk while eating. Those are like, there's a lot of rules and regulations.
You should not eat with a spoon?
Okay.
The spoons were not invented during that time. So
that's the reason they
weren't made. No, but Mataji, even if you are eating prasadam for the taste of the prasadam, then you are fulfilling your senses. How is that become prasadam? So ideally, if you are eating prasadam, you shouldn't feel the taste, right, in a way.
Feel the taste?
Because you are eating it because it's sweet or it is, you know.
You are talking about higher taste, right?
So the higher taste is Krishna consciousness, not the taste.
At least you waited for that prasadam, right? You didn't eat it.
No, if I make a very bitter thing, like I get bitter melons and I cook it and stuff, it is not really sweet and all, it is bitter and whatever. I offer it to the Lord.
You know, bitter melon is not offered to Jagannath, right? Yeah.
Okay, let him complete his sentence.
But why not?
So but there are some basic needs, right? We need food for our body, so we have to satisfy our appetite. If prasadam is the only way of satisfying the appetite, we'll have to eat to some extent and not just kind of pick up a morsel and that.
But if you're eating to taste, then you're actually violating the rule that you're actually fulfilling your senses, right?
Yeah, that's the way that it is.
But still, so the thing is, still the effect of spiritual effect of prasadam is there. Even if we apply it wrongly, that effect will be there. That's what I'm trying to say. You're saying we are eating for sense gratification prasadam, so the effect will be sense gratification. What I'm trying to say is, because it's spiritual, the effect is spiritual. Even though we are eating for sense gratification, eventually we'll get purified of that desire to sense gratification.
Yeah,
But I think one thing to note is like why
rationalizing it. It's not like
no, it's not.
Sense gratification is bad, right? I mean,
yeah.
Sense gratification that actually takes us away from
yes.
the Lord is what is
yes,
the problem,
exactly.
right?
Spiritual
but
sense gratification,
which actually takes you to. That's why
yes.
we say fulfill the desires, but fulfill the desires in a Krishna consciousness,
mm.
so that it takes you to the Lord, right? So that you are able to serve the Lord.
So we gratify the senses spiritually in service to the Lord.
Yeah.
That is.
But according to these last. Things it should not matter. Like I mean, I should not. If I am really self-realized, I will not eat prasadam. Keep eating prasadam because it's tasty.
Yeah.
Okay,
we are not self-realized. That's why.
So I will stop it. I will say, yeah, this is prasadam.
Yes.
This is great. I will eat a little bit and I will
yes.
say, yeah, that's
yeah.
exactly.
If I am not doing that, then I am actually I'm still like I'm not. Doing this.
Yes.
You eat as much as you want
prasad.
And do the service.
You want to know how to eat prasad, you do like Dhruva Maharaj, right? So every three nights he used to eat berries. Then after 1 month he used to eat. No.
Oh,
it's like berries. Then he ate leaves for the next 3 months. Like that. Finally he was eating air and water.
That's why. So this is that's why we clarified last time, right? When Prabhupada talks about Krishna conscious man, we think it's all of us. Here it means actually fully perfected Krishna conscious person. So that person eats prasadam, honors prasadam. But we are not there, right? We eat for gratifying our senses.
Yeah.
But still is much better than eating something else unoffered. Because it's going to purify us eventually. Gradually.
But how do you like honor? Like, what
are
those
honor means, yeah, basically as you know, we were clarifying, I also don't know the details, but at least with the consciousness we discussed last time, right? About the class Srila Prabhupada gave about Krishna, blessing or the burden. That's the title. Where Krishna was saying Vigraha or Phalagraha. That's the Sanskrit words he was using. He's saying the essence of deity worship or essence of service to Krishna is that bhava, the feeling. That here Krishna is there, present. If the feeling is lost, then you think that Vigraha as a burden. Instead of blessing, you think that my rascal spiritual master has left me with this temple and this stone deity which I have to worship. So what makes the difference between the feeling that you know, oh here is Krishna, I have to serve him versus thinking that as a burden. That's the feeling. So same thing, if we have that feeling, you know, okay, this is the mercy of the Lord. You know, this then automatically other things will come. You know, how will we respect? Like for example, to some extent we have respect for books, right? Any book we don't, you know, usually step on it or, you know. So why? Because we have some feeling that, you know, this is Krishna or this related to Krishna. So once we start with that, then automatically we'll get some inspiration as to, you know, how we can gradually respect more and more. At least first we should start with that feeling that it's connected to Krishna. That's what we miss all the time. Right? Especially when we go outdoor festivals and all, oh, we think, oh, it's all type of food is there. We forget it's prasadam. No, we need manchuria, I need this, I need that. Yeah. Okay, so the next point in the same section is, Srila Prabhupada is talking about others. Others who want to fulfill desires even up to the limit of liberation, what to speak of material success, never attain peace. So he's talking about the other people, which is the second last part of the verse, right? Where Krishna saying, a man who strives to satisfy such desires is not peaceful.
Impersonalist, also.
Or materialist, or yeah, correct. Because it's liberation also, right? So we may think, okay, what happens? I have this desire. Okay, I'll try to satisfy this desire. What's wrong? But from the experience and from the scriptures, we know it's not going to satisfy. And on the contrary, the desire is going to be inflamed more and more. Right? It's like feeding the fire. Fire wants ghee, right? Or you know, something to burn. But if you put ghee in the fire, what happens? It is more fire. And same thing Prabhupada talks about, if you have a itch, boil, right? It's very itchy. And you feel like scratching. Once you start scratching, it becomes more itchy. It increases more. That's the same thing, that's the example given for material desires. Starts fulfilling them, we feel like, you know, it subdues. But actually it increases more and more. That's how their lust is also like that. So that's why, you know, they never attain peace. Because one after the other, right? We think, oh, this is satisfied me, something else is just there around the corner.
Not around the corner, straight on the corner.
So that's how we become.
So the other point that I also remember is that what we do, we should do those things which Krishna desires, right?
Yes.
Isn't it? Like we are trying to enjoy His desires to be happy and all.
Yes. We are trying to serve His desires. Yes.
Okay. So not necessarily we are just full of desires, yes, but also we just try to do what.
Yes, exactly. So what is Krishna's desire for all of us?
To come back to him.
So how can how do we serve, help the desire? How do we serve the desire? Practically, how do we serve the desire?
By being with the association of.
No, first
by
we'll
developing the desire for service.
No, first we'll try to we'll try to come to a stage where you know we can qualify to go back to Krishna. Beyond that, we'll try to help others connect to Krishna. Right? So that's all about preaching, that's what advanced devotees do, like Harivilas Prabhu and all. Beyond being perfect himself, now they want to expand, or, you know, extend that Lord's mercy to all others. So that's what is, that's where, you know, they feel the intense need to fulfill the desire of the Lord. The Lord is hankering for all the souls to come back to Him. Let me assist the Lord. My beloved Lord, He, you know, it's, He wants this, so I want to help the Lord in this way. So right now for us, it's at least, you know, we will try to perfect ourselves. In that journey, as much as we know, as much as we can share, as much as Krishna helps, you know, inspires us, we can give this mercy to others through us, if Krishna makes us an instrument. So the verse where, you know, even up to the limit of liberation, one can never attain peace. There is a verse, Sanskrit, it's, I don't know where it is. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakale Ashanta Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ateva Shanta. So it says Bhukti means a person enjoying for material enjoyment. Mukti, a person desiring for liberation. Siddhi, person seeking for mystic powers. Kami, all these people are Sakale Ashanta. They are always without peace. But whereas Krishna Bhakta Nishkama, Krishna Bhakta is desireless, because his desires only service for Krishna. He is alone, Shanta.
So, because first Mukti is even those who are trying to seek liberation are,
yes,
not
peaceful, yes. Because what happens, they just remain a spark in the Brahman effulgence, right, eventually. Then there is no activity. Then they will come back.
Is that in the Gita? This verse is
it's not in Gita.
Okay.
It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes this verse. I can look up and give the reference if needed. Okay. So we'll continue the purport.
The fruitive workers, the salvationists, and also the yogis who are after mystic powers are all unhappy because of unfulfilled desires.
Yes, actually, this is a transliteration of the verse we quoted. Yeah.
But the person in Krishna consciousness is happy in the service of the Lord, and he has no desires to be fulfilled. In fact, he does not even desire liberation from the so-called material bondage. The devotees of Krishna have no material desires, and therefore they are in perfect peace.
So actually, see here, the quality of a devotee, right? Prabhupada is telling, he doesn't even desire liberation from so-called material bondage. So actually, right now, that is our major inspiration, right? You know, I'm frustrated in this life. Give me some peace, you know, give me some happiness. That's why you come and serve Krishna. But eventually, actually, that's okay right now, you know. At least that keeps us in the path. Because, you know, I want to go to Krishna because, you know, that's the end of all my troubles. That's okay right now. But even in the advanced stage, actually, devotees want to come back to this material world so that they can help other souls come back to Krishna. They don't mind coming back, taking birth again. You know, see the purity of the desire, the difference. So even if we desire to go back to Krishna, there is some selfishness there. But if we desire only to serve Krishna, then Krishna, wherever you keep me, I am just going to serve you.
So that's even more purer, pure desire. So actually, it's little bit contradictory to what we just shared. But one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, you know, he was very, of course, everybody, you know, was very inspired by Srila Prabhupada. So he was telling, I want to come back again and again and you distribute your books. I'm very inspired to distributing your books. I want to come back again and again distribute your books. And Prabhupada said, you know, we don't know what happens later on when you come back. Why don't you perfect your life in this life and, you know, go back. You don't need to desire that. That's what he was telling. Yeah, another incident is, so one devotee was fanning the Lord, and you know, devotees, they are so perfect in spiritual world, they are so perfect in their feelings of love and power with the Lord. So when they serve the Lord, they have the feelings of ecstasy, right? In the ecstasy, sometimes tears fall down and, you know, they tremble, or, you know, hair stands up, and all those feelings. These are described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. What are the symptoms of ecstasy? So devotee, while fanning the Lord, is feeling ecstasy and, you know, tears were falling. So he was thinking, you know, one thing is, okay, I'm feeling happy, right? That feeling of ecstasy is generally makes us happy. Okay, oh, I'm feeling happy, I could do it. But the devotee was thinking, oh, these tears are obstructing my, you know, I can't see the Lord, you know, whether I'm fanning him well. So, you know, let this go away, let this ecstasy go away so I can serve the Lord better. So that's what the devotee was thinking. Yeah, that's the height of perfection of desire to serve the Lord. So we can now, you know, think so about, you know.
But I have like a very naive question that I'm sure people have asked that before. Why we say that we shouldn't be kind of seeking sense gratification and all, right? We shouldn't have, we can, it's okay to have desires, but we should not, they should be used in the service of God. But why does Lord have this desire that everyone should serve?
As Prabhupada said, right? So Lord is selfish.
I guess it's a very crude way of saying. There must be a bigger meaning to it. There must be some other sense of.
So the real sense is that Lord is full in himself, so he doesn't need.
Why would he want?
Yeah, exactly. So it's not for his to fulfill something which he is lacking. See, imagine a self-realized person. Just think about it. Krishna is saying a person who is fully perfect, he himself is steady. He also doesn't need anything. And what to think about Krishna himself? Why will, you know, he need something to fulfill him, himself? So it's completely out of picture. We should not even think that, you know, Krishna needs me to do something, to know. He is, you know, he is having a headache, you know, I only have to apply the balm, otherwise it doesn't go. No, that's how gopis think actually, because of their love for Krishna. There is very nice incident. How many of you know about that incident of Krishna's headache?
Oh, Priyan asked, who will give, somebody has to give the mud or something.
So Narada Muni, Krishna, there was, I don't remember the incident.
A headache, very bad headache.
And no, there is a test, basically there is a dialogue between Narada Muni and Krishna, and Narada Muni asks him, like, you know, who is your best devotee? I want to know who are your good, like, best devotees. Then Krishna says, okay, I have a headache. You tell gopis and you tell others that I have a headache. And whoever gives the dust from their lotus feet, you know, that only cures my headache.
Yeah.
You tell, go and tell them. So then Narada Muni goes to, I don't know who all people he goes. At least he goes to some other people.
Other gopis and they...
Other gopis, not
no,
gopis.
Other wives of Krishna, actually.
Wives of Krishna and Radharani.
So he goes to, and then they're like, oh yeah, you know, they're like, no, how can we give our dust to Krishna?
Yes.
Like, and they says, no, but Radharani, she was like so selfless. She's like, yeah, if it cures the headache of my Krishna, I'll, you know, give the dust of my feet.
So the gopi and the wives say, you know, if I give the dust, then, you know, I will get sin, I'll get papam, you know, my husband is my Lord. Now how can I, you know, I have to serve the Lord, but how can I give my dust? But Radharani said, you know, even if I go to hell, it's okay. Let it cure Krishna's headache.
So, but that is, you know, they feel that, you know, Krishna needs my service. That's at a very pure stage. But at our stage, we should not think, you know, I'm doing, Krishna is selfish, so I have to do something. We are doing it for our need.
Yeah, no, I understand that, and that's why I'm questioning. I know that Lord is not selfish, so why are we being taught that only service to God?
Because
why is it that?
Because that's
just asking for service.
Because that's how we are made. We are
meaning to that. Right?
Yeah, we are made for that.
So this
Krishna created us.
Of the world is just to serve Lord.
Krishna created all the living entities to serve Him. That's the whole meaning. That's the whole purpose we are existing.
It's a higher goal, right? The goal is
no. It's very basic, right? Krishna created in the first place for us to serve Him, and in that service, He can enjoy more, and we can enjoy. See, for example, very nice something to connect with is usually after marriage, right? Husband and wife for a few years, okay, no, they have fun together. After some time, they say, you know, oh, enough, you know, let's have kids. Why? Because more, it's more fun, right? Of course, it's, we are seeing now what it takes to raise kids, but, you know, it's more enjoyment, right? More the merrier. So similarly, you know, Krishna is full in Himself. So He expanded us, Radharani, expanded us, all of us, so that with more exchanges, there is more enjoyment. For His enjoyment, He created all of us. That is the very, you know, basic, what to say, the essence of all our existence. Then we felt envious, you know, why Krishna has to enjoy? Same thing, right? Why Krishna has to enjoy? Then we come here, we try to enjoy ourselves, you know, through so many ways, we try to be the Lord. Then somebody says, you know, you're getting frustrated. This is the way you really enjoy. You have to go back. Then we question, why I should serve the Lord?
And to serve is also kind of the basic instinct of human beings.
Yeah, exactly.
So then as long as you surrender that it's the Lord to whom you can need to
yes.
serve, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Once it's all in our day-to-day life, we just keep on
serving so many,
someone,
yeah, exactly,
right?
Correct.
Either our boss,
yeah.
our wife, children, yourself,
yes.
that's what it's all.
Yeah. So we are not never serving, we are always serving.
Yeah.
Just that, you know, are we going to serve the, you know, real person by which everyone, not only us, all family, everybody will be satisfied, or keep satisfying or serving so many small things and never be satisfied. The example is of
watering
the root of the tree, right? Watering the root of the tree, then all the leaves, branches, all the fruits, everything gets nourished, instead of, you know, pouring water to each of the leaves.
The basic example is like if we buy a lollipop to the kid, if the kid opens it and if he comes to us and mama, can you please taste it, then we feel so happy, if you don't want to taste, but we feel so happy that he remembered and he want to offer. So that is how Krishna's case.
Yes. Yeah, what is this, right? Actually, that's what we talked about, right? Our sadhana bhakti, or, you know, it's the probate bhakti, or, you know, practice bhakti. What we offer is really Krishna tasting it, or, you know, and not because we are offering, actually through Prabhupada, Siksha Guru, or, you know, Guru Maharaj, we are offering. So he's, you know, through, because of their being perfect, because they are engaging some of us, so Krishna is accepting us. But what is our qualification in the first place to approach Krishna? No, actually service is a great reward. We think, you know, oh, I'm getting so much service is abundantly available. So we think, you know, I don't run away from service. But service is it's actually a luxury, and it's the one, as we shared last time, right? It's the one which is saving us. If we don't have service to Krishna, what will we do? We'll engage in sense gratification, right? So what is going to save us? Service is the one which is saving us.
I was saying something like that to Sarva Prabhu on our way back. Now, as long as I'm here and doing service, everything is fine. Step out, mind is back to its monkey business.
Mm.
It's not.
So service is one which is saving us. And Krishna is providing that service out of His mercy, not because He needs something.
Why He needs us? Yes,
yes,
kings.
So
kings and queens and everybody is serving Him.
Desire service from people, yes, to remember him, but also kind of give a structure to him.
your existence, right? I mean, I'm trying to think of it in a, what is the higher meaning of the person? It's not a personal character.
So you're asking about what's the higher meaning of this whole creation of the world? Why the world is being...
You wouldn't just create billions and millions of people to serve him, right? There has to be some bigger reason to that. And so probably these people being there, but while they enjoy their existence, also there is an order and structure to that, and that comes through, that discipline comes through having one symbol to serve. Right? Maybe I'm not able to explain it properly.
Yeah, I can share from what, you know, I've read from scriptures or, you know, what Srila Prabhupada has taught us. And
I'll come back to it.
Okay. So, yeah. So, the whole creation also, Krishna's mercy, we discussed many times, right? The whole creation is just so that we can satisfy the desire to enjoy on our own. Right? That's the whole purpose beyond this behind this creation in the first place.
We know who Krishna is. Lot of people in the world, they don't even know who Krishna is. So I don't know when they will get into the process,
yes, yes.
Right?
That's why actually Prabhupada said, you know, that's why we all are there. If we are meant for that. We are meant to, you know,
educate,
go back and help them. Yeah. That's why Prabhupada said, whoever is born in Bharata Bhumi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whoever is born in India, especially, that's the duty to reach Krishna consciousness, perfect their life and to help others.
Yeah, what I was saying, Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto is on creation, right? First canto?
Second canto.
Yeah.
Is
on creation. That's where all details
are. Yeah, details of creation, yes.
Creation, yeah.
So, devotees of Krishna have no material desires and therefore they are in perfect peace. So, material desires are the ones which create anxiety. Okay. So we'll stop here. Any discussion, any questions or comments? Hare Krishna, thank you very much.